I'm Ben Langston, and this is the Up and Down Podcast. In this podcast, I interview everyday people about a time in their lives when they felt up and a time in their lives when they felt down. It's a really simple concept, and I'm going to follow it because I really think it's good to hear people's stories and think about how they relate to all of us. Our experiences of life obviously vary quite a lot, but the emotions we feel because of those experiences are similar and can show us that we're not always alone. I believe all of us need to share more about how we feel in life. Everyone has stories to tell, and I want them to be able to tell these stories on the podcast. If you like what you hear and would like to support what I'm doing, then you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/updown. If not, that's completely fine. I just hope that you get something out of listening to other people's stories. Right, well, thank you for coming on the Up and Down podcast. How are you? You okay?
I'm great.
Do you just want to introduce yourself and just say a little bit about why you wanted to come on?
Okay. Well, thank you for this opening up this space of sounds and imagination. I'm Axa, Axenia. My name actually means not stranger. Did you know that in Greek?
Not stranger.
Not a stranger.
Okay.
So yeah, I do feel like that's a bit part of my destiny. Not being a stranger, embracing a lot of paths and challenging myself. I did think that it was very interesting and challenging at the same time.
Okay.
And kind of wasn't very interesting to start of the end of the beginning of the year to think about those moments and to share them with the others. And it was more about my fear to share, but
okay,
I don't actually do that so often. And it kind of felt like a big challenge for me to come here and to be honest and to share it with people that I don't know. But maybe as well, like, very important.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time and doing something that potentially is a bit scary for you. And I know it's quite a strange situation, isn't it? Just sat across a table with someone you've never met before, answering questions. Hopefully you will relax and enjoy your cup of tea, and we can hopefully do something good. So yeah, where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the up or with the down?
Well, let's do the classic way.
Okay.
Let's do a little bit of up, a little bit of down, a little bit of up, a little bit of down. See where that brings us.
Okay, yeah. I'll let you start talking then.
Really? Oh, God. What an honour. what are the downs? I would see it more as an episode, more a little string of events that brought to consider it like a down moment. I think at some couple of months ago, I started living in my van in Bristol, in a not insulated van, because I bought it with a hole in the roof, gaffer taped, because the log burner was sold. So I'm like, oh, we'll just put some gaffer tape, by the time you buy one. So I was starting to see mold and like, let's take off this cover tape, and taking off, everything was falling apart, the ceiling.
Oh,
so for a couple of days, I tried to creative solutions, like inflating a balloon in the hole. And it was beautiful, I had this like beautiful yellow balloon covering the hole. But of course, I woke up in the morning and it didn't last.
No.
Then I tried with the umbrella. I opened up an umbrella. And yeah, that wasn't working much because while driving, so the rain was coming in. Then I was sleeping with a little ball beside my pillows. So the rain was catching water. Yeah, so it was becoming more and more challenging because I could not find a log burner that was fitting my van. And yeah, so I was warming up with candles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that wasn't very fun.
So what was it that made you want to live in a van in the first place? What was?
I did try to see the romantic idea of living in a van. I didn't quite realise that it's not so romantic in a city. Yeah, it's much more challenging than it is, especially if we're not, you know, a very comfortable van, you know. So that was pretty fun. So yeah, that is, the situation escalated, you know, that I was warming up with my candles and was feeling really down. And a friend of mine called me from Canary Islands, where I used to live, saying like, hey chica, we bought a boat, you can come to visit us anytime. Well, me sitting in a cold candles, I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming, you know, about that magical place on the other side. I'm like, I'll just go and buy some baklava, because I was like, I need some sweets, you know. Like, I was relying on baklava to pull me up. I bought this beautiful box of baklava. I was going back. I'm like, oh, and my wallet got stolen.
Oh,
I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. I went to cheer myself up and got myself even down. And the situation escalated because then I was trying to find the person who have stolen my wallet.
So where did your wallet go missing? When did you notice?
In Eastern.
Okay.
So after like 10 minutes when I finished my baklava and I went to put my hands in my pocket and it's gone. So then I was like a detector, you know, because I was seeing transactions on the phone happening.
Oh, no.
I'm like, okay, so I was following his steps around Eastern and talking to everyone. And I got suggested to look in the bins, and I got given some gloves. And I started looking for my wallet in the bins of Eastern, and it was looking pretty extreme, you know. And then I got the picture. Finally, we realised who was that. So the lady called me and said, I've got the picture of the guy who's stolen your wallet. And I went to the police, showed them the picture, and died there. They're like, we'll find you. And yeah, never happened. So that was a big escalation of things. So I decided to get myself, I got some coins back, and like, I don't know where to put those coins. And I put them in a dirty sock. I'm like, oh, no one's gonna steal that. So for weeks, I was putting my pennies in the dirty sock. And everyone's like, oh, great wallet there. I'm like, at least no one's gonna steal this. That was pretty creepy, I think, but I'm pretty mad.
And how close together were all these incidents?
This was day after day.
Okay.
That was an escalation, a week of events.
Okay.
Yeah, a week of events happening. At that time, van was at least functioning, you know. Recently, it just doesn't start, and I need to crack the injectors every time I want to move it.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's a different story now.
Yeah.
Now it's all warm. And then there was the prophecy, you know. So my friend decided to help me with the leaks that were coming. So they're like, we need to repair your roof, because I had like six, seven holes on the roof and the rain was coming in. And it was like a boat. It felt being on the boat, you know, the winds and everything. So I bought everything I needed, and the guys from the a reclamation centre. It's like, oh, so you live in a van, and where do you park? Under the bridge. I'm like, come on, I don't live under the bridge. I felt almost offended. And what happened? So to repair the van in those rainy days, we needed to go under the bridge.
Okay.
So got under the bridge. I'm like, oh, the prophecy. The prophecy is coming true. Now I'm living under the bridge. So yeah, that's very fun. And breaking down under the bridge, and I stayed there for more than a day, and it felt like, oh yeah, that's my place.
Oh no. Yeah, I can imagine.
That's my place.
That's quite depressing, isn't it?
It was quite depressing, I think. Yeah, I felt like I was living. It was very cold as well for a long time, so I could not sleep. And I and I was just like wrapped up in blankets, and it felt like in apnea, you know. I was there taking a bit of oxygen and come back under the blankets, and I'm like, why am I doing this to me? For like an endurance game, you know.
So what do you do in situations like that to kind of make yourself feel a bit better and more sort of human?
I don't know, I think I'm kind of crawl in my sadness a lot, and I just stay there and cry really? And despair. Okay. I just bring myself to like a despair point, and then something clicks. But I really need to swim in that sadness and despair for a while, and nothing helps, you know.
So is that something that you do by yourself, or do you kind of talk to other people at that time, or you just kind of isolate yourself?
Yeah, I do isolate myself, and yeah, and cry. That sounds very, very, very sad. But no, I do talk to people, and I really laugh about it, you know. I talk it in a ick. I like to laugh about it, of course.
So how do you do that? How do you switch that then? How do you switch it from being a really sad moment, swimming in the sadness, to being able to talk about it with people and kind of laugh about it?
Well, because I can't really, like, when I start thinking about it, I find it very hilarious. You know, I find that it's so ridiculous. And it's actually like my choices brought me to that. You know, you always have choices. So it's actually, I've chosen to do that. There is a different path that you, at any point, you can take. But that's, I brought myself in all those situations somehow, you know. You know, when you get robbed. But as even that, you know, it's not paying attention. All those things that you can avoid, or maybe not relying on sweets when you're sad. And, you know, all those little things that you think, like, that's all my choices brought me there. So I really find it surprisingly stupid.
Are you giving yourself quite a hard time then, do you think, in those situations? Like, you talk about the choices that you've made and how that's taken you to, I don't know, I suppose some kind of level of despair because things haven't worked out how you'd potentially wanted them to work out. Do you ever think that you're being a bit hard on yourself when you think about it in relation to the other choices you could have made?
There is always an alternative, you know. I saved money to get a van, and at the same time I could use that money to do other things. So I never planned things, you know. And probably that's a big mistake sometimes. I'm just like, oh yeah, I've got an idea, let's do it. I don't really see it through very much, and then I get to the point like, wow, really, I got myself in this situation just because I'm lazy. I'm like, maybe my laziness and planification brings me to this despair because I don't really take the time. I'm not very patient as well. Okay. So not being patient in taking the time to plan things bring you to all this, you know, desperation that could be avoided, you know. But yeah, I think something to work on.
Maybe. But then, you know, you talk about potentially you're being lazy, but at the end of the day, you did, in that particular situation, you did try to fix the problem, and you did a lot in order to get the issues solved and resolved. So I don't know if that's really lazy. You know, you tried loads of things. You tried a balloon, you tried an umbrella, you got proper help in the end.
Yeah.
So is that something that happens to you sort of regularly then, in terms of like going down a path of despair and just feeling a bit shit about stuff?
I mean, I think that was particular, you know, my life was getting out of hand somehow. But it was very, yeah. But it doesn't happen so often. But yeah, when I do not plan things through, it happens. Okay. Okay. So, you know, once I decided to live in France and work in Germany, and I was just travelling every week by bus from France to Germany 18 hours because I just didn't want to take a decision to move there. And I was like, why? Why all this stress? You know, that's just, put it on me because I'm like, oh, well, you know, I take a job there and I just keep living here, you know.
It's quite extreme. But then also, like, you were robbed as well. That's, you know, that's a really stressful experience. You know, even if you weren't mugged, you were still, someone still stole something from you. So,
and having that picture, it was very frustrating.
And you never got it back then?
No, never. But I was so desperate that I was walking down the street, like, asking everyone, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? And I saw a guy with his family there that looked very similar to this person. And I was like, okay, I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to him. I took a heart in my hands. I'm like, okay. So I started talking to this person and almost accusing him to have stolen my wallet. And he was like, well, show me the picture if you think I am. And I look at my phone and it dies, of course. Yeah. Of course, classic, classic. I'm like, okay. So he's like, well, you can charge it in my car if you want. So, well, he was charging my phone in his car while I was accusing him of having stolen my wallet. So, and there was an escalation of things like, I will report it to the police that you know, you could do these things, accusing people that's like not allowed, it's like against the law. And I was like, well, let's see. And, you know, you look very similar to this person. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I'm like, I started having doubts, of course, because the picture was there, but, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course, then we looked at the picture, he didn't look quite the same. And that was very embarrassing.
So in that moment, what are you thinking, you know, when he's taking you to his car to like charge your phone and you're still not 100% sure, what's kind of running through your mind then?
Well, I'm just riding the path of that aggressive woman that, you know, took a decision to accuse someone, and like okay, so we have to bring it to somewhere. But I felt very idiotic, definitely. I felt like that was escalating a bit too much. And
yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, that's it, you know.
But do you think like that was you reacting to everything that was going on at that time?
Definitely. I was like a little beast, you know. Like, talked to everyone, I went in every shop and asking everyone. And people were starting saying, yes, I know him, yes, I know him, yes, I've seen him. You know, things were starting linking up. And yeah, it was like putting puzzles together and you're like following this person that you don't know. But everyone knows, like, yeah, it's just from here. It's a guy from here, he always comes here. And yeah, maybe you can have a look there. And then, you know, I was just walking up and down street and people were just like, so have you found him? And I was, you know, it became a game, you know. So I felt like I was allowed to do everything.
Okay.
Somehow, you know, kind of gave me the permission to act a bit differently, and then I felt like that was going out of hand. And I let the police deal with it. That they didn't, of course. Yeah. They didn't. But yeah, I felt my detective skills were not very good. I think I'm far too emotional. There's no much neutrality going on there, and, you know, tact. Okay. You're not straight away accusing someone, but maybe asking and talking and asking where they have been, or even, you know, I don't know, maybe I should watch more films. Detective Columbo or something.
How long did it kind of take you to feel better after that sort of escalated period of feeling really down?
Well, I think my friends, like, they saw me being quite desperate, and every time I was talking, I was like crying. And anything I was saying, I was crying. They just asked me, how are you? And I was just not even saying anything, and I was crying. It was just a constant, you know, that feeling of despair there, that I could not even talk about anything. And they're like, just come to our house, have a shower, have a warm, you know, something warm, and just chill out. And yeah, kind of the friends that were around that time, was comfort, that gave me some comfort. And because I would have not asked for it, how proud I am, you know, I don't ask.
So why wouldn't you ask?
Because I'm very proud and stubborn, you know, and I just like, oh yeah, I can deal with that. I can deal with that. So I don't know.
So in those situations then, friends and having those sort of close relationships with them is what is important to you?
But I rarely ask for help.
Okay.
I think it's not a very positive thing.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, I think we should be able to give and take. It's not just, yeah, you know, the biblical rules, you know. But I quite think that, you know, it's not balanced when you're just the person who likes to give somehow and you are not able to take, and means like you're not able to ask. So I do think that I really struggle. I like being very hospitable and offering whatever, everything I have, not much, you know. But the opposite feels to me like, oh, it's like a big weight on my shoulders when someone is good to me and someone is nice to me. And yeah, and I find it very challenging.
Okay. But you don't find it challenging to help other people?
No, that's... absolutely. No, no.
Yeah.
But I do feel like quite a few people face that.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to say. Speaking from a personal point of view, can sometimes feel really, really hard to accept people's help. And I suppose sometimes that can be frustrating as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help is a funny thing. But I do think that affects a lot. That's the proudness. Yeah.
Pride.
Pride. Pride is something that, well, is damaging me, I do think. It's important, but then when it's too much, it becomes a problem somehow. I do think that.
So what do you think you can do to resolve that, or at least, I suppose, the next time you're feeling down about something, then how would you not let pride get in the way of accepting more help and support?
I don't know, probably just taking a decision and maybe being more humble somehow, you know. I think that's the opposite of pride. somehow accepting the fact that you're down. So maybe I do not accept that, you know. So there is that conflict inside something, not embracing that moment and somehow trying to fight it or somehow, you know. Not being able to share it with the others and feel like that it's all right, it's fine.
Yeah.
To be like this. I mean, like, it's fine. It happens. So just embrace what's happening and be more open to what, like, to people's reactions or to people's actions. You know. Yeah. Maybe acceptance. Maybe that's why. Maybe acceptance is something that I'm just thinking about now. Yeah, maybe something that I haven't thought about before.
So when you look back on the down that you've mentioned, how does that kind of make you feel now?
No? Well, it makes me feel that it made me stronger.
Okay.
So, you know, lo que no mata engorda. What doesn't kill you makes you fatter. I think like that... like going through all those things at the end was quite important. You know, if it happened, it means that it was supposed to happen somehow, and made me much stronger. And now I looking back, I quite like laughing about it and finding it hilarious how did it all, like, all that little puzzle went through. And when I like, you know, remembering comforting myself with baklava and getting promised, me like wow, you know, and sitting with those candles and talking on the phone with Canary Islands and, you know, looking in the dark cold van and doing with someone on the other side of the phone that is like sharing the beautiful weather, you know. It's very like romanticized. So in my head was this all romantic idea that I could not accept that I was in that situation, and that was my reality, and that was my truth, and there was no way to escape it. And I just needed to embrace what I had and, you know, not run away to Canary Islands, or maybe make my reality and living a little bit more comfortable, you know. But that escapism, so my brain went, so for days I wasn't there. I was like, you know, I'm on the island and my problems will be all gone if I would be there, you know, but very not realistic. Or somewhere else. And that was just like a trick. I was just tricking myself. But
in order to cope with the situation.
Yeah, with the situation. But of course, the actions that I take after, make it more comfortable and warm and everything like that, it makes me feel like, oh, it's nice in here. And I wasn't feeling so sad and so desperate, Yeah.
So you kind of built a level of, I suppose, resilience then to being able to cope with situations like that. And you've got, and you feel comfortable in the van now? It's like warmer and...
Well, yeah, it's much warmer because I've got a beautiful wood burner.
Excellent.
I can make a fire. I'm not very good at making fires. I'm working on it. It takes me a couple of attempts, sometimes seven. And I'm like, oh, keep going, otherwise you won't sleep. It's much more comfortable and you just need to, you create your routine and you learn what's the best way, but it just takes a while. I do feel quite isolated and lonely in a van in a city. Because, those months I was feeling almost ashamed to get in a van because people were like, oh, she gets in her. Yeah, I felt that a lot of shame on my shoulders.
Where do you think that was kind of coming from?
I don't know, of my choices, but the shame is still there a little bit, It's still there. And then the fact that, need to always, block all the vision from the road so people don't, stare inside of your van. and that as well, the crazy that you're always, blocking the outside world and you are in your little bubble there and it's fine. But then when you are in, it's comfortable. But to get in it, I still feel I don't cope with that very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Are you ready to move on to the up now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? Well, I'll let you at your own pace.
Okay. Yeah, it was a hard choice as well. I didn't quite know which direction to go. And I did think quite a few things. And I do think... I will change my mind. I would talk about a moment in time that was actually almost exactly a year ago.
Okay.
When I decided to go to LISPA in Berlin as a London School of Performing Arts. And I did, as well, didn't plan much. Someone told me it's a good school. I'm like, okay, I gotta just pay all my money and go there. Okay. I was like, okay, just blindfolded. And it was a big surprise. Didn't went as well as I thought, expectations, high expectations.
So what is it, what made you want to go there in the first place?
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of clowning. Okay. And they were organising an intensive month of clowning. Clown and Comical World workshop. There was, for intense 4 weeks, a build-up. But in my head was like, oh, it's escalation. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about one of particular things that happened on 1 week. So I discovered this shamanic clown.
Mm.
So it's shamanic clowning approach that comes from shamans from Canada. In very interesting approach that brings you on a journey.
Mm.
So you have to experience that. So you have the experience of the experience and the experience of the innocence.
Okay.
So in order to experience the innocence, you have to have your experience. And so you're guided by the teacher in your experience. So you choose a person in your mind to the person that you really, really love. So you choose this someone and you spend some time with them. You do everything you want. You decide what you want to do with them, all the things you like. And then you have to say goodbye to them forever. So you help them. You make them their luggage, and you go with them to the boat and you say goodbye forever to this person. So I've chosen my father that I never met.
Right, okay.
So I'm like, stroke me. So I can meet my father in this journey. it was such a surprise. I could not believe it, you know, because someone you never met, you never think you can try that.
It's really interesting.
I like, okay, I'm like, so just the decision, I was already like rivers of tears were coming out. I'm like, okay, I've chosen to meet my father in this, like in this room with unknown people, with this person that will guide us in this journey. So everyone has, we were like around 15 people, maybe less, in a big, big room, and everyone has chosen their corner to do their experience. So from outside, it probably looked very, very weird. So 15 people talking to this invisible people.
So you're talking out loud.
Yeah. So you imagine the person. Mm. So I just imagine it, you know. So it was just the power of the imagination. Mm. But there was something incredible about it, because I imagined my father that I never met, and I started talking to him. He wasn't quite answering to my questions, but there was this imaginary figure that I hugged. And the amount of tears I cried, it was, you know, it was just like something opened up in me, and we were there. He was there. So we have eaten my favorite food, those cherry pie.
Nice.
Typical in Moldavia, it's called plecintem. So it's like a different type of, but like sour cherries, you know. So I'm like, oh, Dad, we'll eat this. I don't know if you like it, but you probably will like that. So I don't know, I was imagining that we were eating the cherry pie, and we went on a swing. So he was like playing with me on a swing, and we hugged, you know. And I was just lying on the floor. We were hugging each other. I was feeling it, you know?
Mm.
And yeah, and then I make his luggage and I give him all my favorite clothes. I put in his bag all my favorite clothes and I say goodbye forever. And he told me that he loves me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a really profound experience. What was it that kind of made you come to that decision to choose your dad that you'd never met? Was it an easy decision?
You mean now?
No, at that time.
At that time, it just struck me the fact to meet someone I love, and I do think I love him a lot, even if I don't know him.
Mm.
But because my mom tells that we are so similar. Okay. I'm like a photocopy of him, and our brain is very similar. And she tells every time, oh, you talk like him, you say things that he said, you do things that he did. It's very crazy, because my mom constantly reminds me how similar I am to someone that I've never met. And, you know, how I take decision that I think are just, you know, it's my decision. But my mom said, oh, your dad did that too. Or like, you know, he was very interested in a lot of things like music, electronics, everything. And I do interest myself in the same thing without knowing it. Then my mom tells me like, oh, yeah, your dad did that too. Oh, your dad did that too. And, you know, it's very crazy how the DNA is actually very real. I do. And like, for me, it's a very magical something.
Yeah.
It's because I always thought there is more you mimic somehow because you grow up with your parents and you like, you take their behaviors. You know, I don't know. Somehow I thought it was something related that you have seen it a lot and you lived a lot with that person. So. Because I haven't, I find it very incredible. Mm. I still find like I find it unbelievable how the humans work.
that is amazing. And I suppose it's like obviously quite an emotional experience, you know, both in sadness but also happiness. So it's the happiness of that experience like overrides any other feeling that you had. So what kind of like impact has that had on you kind of since then?
It changed me because I met him, you know, because I can't say now that I haven't.
Okay.
It felt so real, that encounter, that for me now I do consider that we actually met in that moment in time. I created it with my imagination. I kind of brought us together, and maybe he felt something if he's still alive. You know, I do think that something really powerful happened, and because I always feel like having a chasm, do you call it
chasm?
Chasm?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't want to call it hole. I do feel like it's more chasm. And, yeah, it's always that, you know? that can't be filled with anything. Mm. It's something that it will be there forever because he wasn't there. And no one could take that place in my heart. And that's going to always be empty.
Mm.
So that encounter, put a different coating on that, yeah, you know, okay. Give it a different colour. Somehow it changed that. It's still empty,
yeah,
but it's different. It's more alive.
Okay.
Somehow that emptiness is now beating, you know, like a empty beating heart.
Did you ever used to imagine that moment then when you know, before that, like meeting him and...
Yeah, in real life, yeah. When I was a teenager, I was going to every... When I was like 13 or 14, I was going to every police station, to every like council, you know. I was like, I would like to find my father. I'd like to find my father. They always thought I'm a bit crazy, you know. But I always had that idea that if I just talk to everyone, they will find him. But because he's researched by Interpol, as I discovered, really? So he seems like an international criminal. So probably it won't be so easy, you know. And definitely going to the police won't help. I do find it quite fascinating having a father as an international criminal.
That is a whole another podcast. Isn't
it? Oh yes. Daughters and fathers, we'll call it. You'll definitely find quite a few interesting stories going on there. But yeah, I imagine that it will happen. And I always like brought tears in my eyes, and I always thought that when I got to meet him, I will cry for a while, and then maybe I'll be able to say something. But I do still believe it will, like, it will happen at some point. Okay. In my life. Yeah, I do think it will happen.
Has that helped you then in your kind of day-to-day life, or do you just think it's had sort of positive impacts that you don't really think about, but which are there?
Yeah, I do struggle to see the, you know, something tangible, yeah, or yeah. See something tangible. I do struggle to see the effects, you know. Well, I do think it gave me some hope.
Okay.
Like a little bit more hope than before, you know. So it's been almost like 30 years of my life that I haven't seen him, so it's a lot of time. So yeah. Through all those years, you kind of, yeah, you don't, sometimes you don't believe it anymore, and so it gave a new wave of energy, but as well, like, realizing how powerful my imagination can be. So, you know, That gave me, like, I'm able to do so much with my imagination.
Mm. Yeah, that's an incredible thing, yeah.
And the potential of it is so, so big. And that gave me so much, like, so much energy as well, yeah. Mm. Energy to create and actually to have the courage to use the imagination. Because I think it's how much we allow ourselves to imaginate as where we go, no? So if we allowed ourselves to imagine more and to travel further, you know, like, things will change. So, yeah, I do believe more in my imagination. Okay.
And in terms of, like, talking about it as an experience, have you spoken about it much to other people? Have you spoken to your mum about it, for example?
Actually, no. Yeah, I did talk a lot about it to people that... don't know me so well.
Yeah, okay.
I always struggle to talk about these things to my mom, probably, because she finds it a bit weird. Okay. She does find a lot of things that I do a bit weird. She's a very conservatory woman. But I do think because of fear, you know. And I have fear to share, and she has fear to hear. So... yeah, we have a difficult relationship, but I think I do wrong not sharing, and because I think she won't, you know, I don't think she won't understand, but it's always very challenging, you know, and I do not think we have a very honest relationship somehow. The biggest principle of my life is honesty, but I do really struggle to be honest with my mum, and that is very contradictory. But because probably I fear so much, like, she's so important, and I do fear so much because she's the only person I've got. But there is so much fear going on between us two that is very hard. Yeah, she has fear to hear to what I've experienced. I have fear to actually tell her the truth because, you know, once I told her that I jumped naked for the bridge and she had a heart attack. So things kind of, you know, I tried when I was younger to share a bit of my life experiences and it never went too well.
Okay.
So I'm a bit wary that it's damaging her health hearing my truth. And
So is there anything else about either of those experiences that you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you happy?
Oh, I am happy, yeah. I think it's... I'm really happy to have shared this positive, like, the up moment.
Okay.
That is a very mix of emotions. I'm not very proud of sharing my down moment. Now I feel very conflicted now. I'm like, oh my God, I did say all those things. I'm starting to really judge myself a lot now.
No.
I'm feeling really worried.
I think that's natural. I think from my experience of doing a podcast, I think that a few people definitely worry about what they've said. And then when they hear it back, then they're not worried anymore. I think it's natural when you... or when one opens themselves up, you know, and...
Exposure.
Yeah, exactly. It is exposing. And you don't know... You didn't know how it was going to go before you got here and all the rest of it. So it's perfectly natural. But I don't think you need to worry about it. It's definitely not something you need to feel down about. That's for sure.
Okay.
I would say that it's good that you felt able to share it, so thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing this to happen.
That's all right. My dog behaved herself throughout the whole of recording, which is excellent. She's just been sleeping in her bed, so
we had a really soothing voice.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
Good luck, all the others to come.
Hi everyone, so that was the AXA episode. Hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. Remember, you can support the podcast by heading over to patreon.com/updown, and by donating as little as $2 a month, you can get some perks, including early access to episodes. Obviously, you don't have to do that. You can just carry on listening for free. And yeah, I just wanted to also say a really, really big thank you to Chris again. Chris, who came and spoke to me on the last episode, episode 7. He's a musician and he's done some music for the podcast. So I'm going to close each podcast now with a bit of music that he put together for me. So thanks again to him. And I will link to his website in a description of the podcast, so go and check him out. Thank you Chris, and I will speak to you all again next month when the February episode comes out. Okay, cheers.